The crown of the gunner's skull had been blasted off, probably by one of our automatic weapons. His riddled steel helmet lay on the deck like a punctured tin can. The assistant gunner lay beside the gun. Apparently, he had just opened a small green wooden chest filled with strip clips of machine gun cartridges when he was killed. Several other Japanese soldiers, ammo carriers, lay strung out at intervals behind the gun. A Company K rifleman, who had been in the fight that knocked out the machine gun crew, sat on his helmet nearby and told us the story. The action had taken place the day before, while the mortar section was fighting at the pillbox. The rifleman said, "The thing that I just couldn't believe was the way those NIP ammo carriers could chop-chop around here on the double with those heavy boxes of ammo on their backs." Each ammo box had two leather straps, and each ammo carrier had a heavy box on his back with the straps around his shoulders. I lifted one of the ammo chests. It weighed more than our mortar. What the Japanese lacked in height, they certainly compensated for in muscle. "I'd sure hate to have to lug that thing around, wouldn't you?" asked the Marine. "When they got hit," he continued, "they fell to the deck like a brick because of all that weight." As we talked, I noticed a fellow mortarman sitting next to me. He held a handful of coral pebbles in his left hand. With his right hand, he idly tossed them into the open skull of the Japanese machine gunner. Each time his pitch was true, I heard a little splash of rainwater in the ghastly receptacle. My buddy tossed the coral chunks as casually as a boy casting pebbles into a puddle on some muddy road back home. There was nothing malicious in his action. The war had so brutalized us that it was beyond belief. I noticed gold teeth glistening brightly between the lips of several of the dead Japanese lying around us. Harvesting gold teeth was one facet of stripping enemy dead that I hadn't practiced so far. But stopping beside a corpse with a particularly tempting number of shining crowns, I took out my K-bar and bent over to make the extractions. A hand grasped me by the shoulder, and I straightened up to see who it was. "What are you going to do, Sledgehammer?" asked Doc Caswell. His expression was a mix of sadness and reproach as he looked intently at me. "Just thought I'd collect some gold teeth," I replied. "Don't do it." "Why not, Doc?" "You don't want to do that sort of thing. What would your folks think if they knew?" "Well, my dad's a doctor, and I bet he'd think it was kind of interesting," I replied, bending down to resume my task. "No, the germs, Sledgehammer. You might get germs from them." I stopped and looked inquiringly at Doc and said, "Germs? Gosh, I never thought of that." "Yeah, you gotta be careful about germs around all these dead nips, you know," he said vehemently. "Well then, I guess I'd better just cut off the insignia on his collar and leave his nasty teeth alone. You think that's safe, Doc?"
"I guess so," he replied with an approving nod. Reflecting on the episode after the war, I realized that Doc Caswell didn't really have germs in mind. He was a good friend and a fine, genuine person whose sensitivity hadn't been crushed out by the war. He was merely trying to help me retain some of mine and not become completely callous and harsh.